Channel 2 Right in continuation of Visit with JR this Tuesday, rainy Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 74. Channel 2 Right and a continuation of Visit with JR this Tuesday, rainy Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 74. Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the Visit with JR this Tuesday, the 19th of February, 74.
I do love to have a good garden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Noel said, that garden ain't been broke up that good in so long as this plant. I said, no, said it sure ain't. I mean, I tore it up good thing.
It sure looks good. And you know, J.I., that looks as if it's a good place to have a garden.
Yes, it is. It's a good place to have a garden.
Cause you
I got enough seed to plant me about two good rows of watermelons, them long green, I think they call them watermelons, and I got some cucumber seeds.
Yeah.
And I got some cucumber seeds coming from somewhere up the country, that the cucumbers is that long. You ever seen any of that long?
Never saw anything like that.
I seen one 3 feet long here not long ago. A man got them on a fence.
Yeah.
You have to put up a fence for the vines to run on.
Yeah.
And then up at the top,
yeah,
up at the top of the fence, you put a thing like this. Down like that, and the vines run all up in there and then hang
yeah
over.
Yeah.
And I've seen cucumbers on that vine 3 and 4 feet long.
My God.
You ever seen anything like that?
No.
I'm going to show them to you.
I sure never saw a cucumber
well, we got,
or anything like
my
that.
My sister-in-law wrote my wife yesterday. She got a letter from her yesterday and said that he'd ordered us some from way up the country somewhere or another. You plant them in
that's
a row.
Like a gourd.
Yeah, you plant them in a row and it runs up on the fence. They run up. They don't run on the ground. And when you get ready to gather your cucumbers, you just walk right up to the fence and get them. And I've seen 4 or 5 on there that long. And I mean, they're good, too. You feel them, they just like a regular
cucumber.
Just
let me see one of those. I never saw anything like that.
Well, they got some down here at Largo. One of the beatenest looking cucumbers you ever seen in your life. And they won't be a bit over that big round.
Is that right?
It's about that big round, about that long.
A yard long.
3 feet long. And they got one down there. We was down there here when all that storm was on down there. Cucumber come around like that, just like an S. It was about 3-4 feet long. And that old man wouldn't give me one of them for nothing. He didn't give nobody nothing. And you take his daughter, his niece, in other words, asked, Grandpa, I want a cucumber to eat. You keep your hands off of them cucumbers.
Oh.
No good and well, he wouldn't give her none. He sure wasn't going to give me none.
Well, if you had one of them, you could save seed.
Yeah, but it's just them kind that you can't take the seed and plant them.
Oh, I see.
That's the trouble there. What do you call them? A high...
Hybrid.
Hybrided,
yeah,
cucumber?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he didn't have no seed.
Yeah.
Well, that, my wife's sister asked him, did he have some seed?
Yeah.
And he didn't even want to let her know where he got the seed from. So Nola, this woman ordered us 3 packages of them. I don't know how many is in a package. Must not be too many.
Yeah.
And you just plant a row of them and then put your fence up there. Put the fence up there first,
yeah,
and put a row of them under there and say, don't put the seed in the fertilizer.
Yeah.
Put the fertilizer underneath them,
yeah,
about 8 inches down. And then put your row of dirt and put the seed about 4 inches from the fertilizer.
Yeah.
Do not put the seed in the fertilizer.
Yeah.
So that's about right, 4 inches from the seed to fertilizer.
Yeah.
You have all the cucumbers you want. I mean, they were on that vine. They were there. Them vines were heavy stuff, heavy looking too.
weather.
Yeah, heavy looking.
Well, they'd have to be heavy to
yeah.
take care of those things.
Can't take care of them things. Now, they got a squash that thing's about that long.
Foot and a half?
Yeah, 1.5, 2 foot long, and you go there and get how much squash you want.
Yeah.
Just cut it off.
Oh.
And when you cut it off, it'll just automatically, I guess it grows back. And first thing I know, it's right back out there like it was.
You mean you can go out there in the garden and,
yes, sir, and get what squash
cut
you
all
want.
What you want,
yeah.
And it'll keep on growing.
Yes, and they're yellow. Yellow, like yellow crooknets. And that man said in the letter, in that letter Noah got from a sister, that they had peas that high already. Peas and okra and a little bit of everything. And my sister-in-law, she planted about 1/2 acre onions, some kind of onion, I don't know what kind of onion it was, but she said she got $8 to $10 a bushel for them. Right, of course, that's down at Largo. You take all them people from up the country, go down there. And they got them condominiums down there. And them people, they just crazy about greens.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to go down there and pick up some lawnmowers. You can go down there and buy a lawnmower for $3 and $4. Anything in the world wrong with it. Just need tuning up and need a little something done to it. Might need a blade on it. Rest of it's all right. Mm-hmm. I went down there here about 2 years ago and bought 40 some odd. I'm about to give out a lawnmower now. Of course, I still got a bunch of them. I guess I can bill 25 or 30. But I don't feel like getting out of that cool world.
You're all cool now.
No, not the shape I'm in. I don't feel like messing with it.
J.R., the way those lawnmowers are built, you can't, about an inch is as high as they'll go off the ground.
Why? You mean the wheel?
The blade. You can't get the blade.
I can get the blade up just as high as I want.
How you manage that?
Well, I put what they call an adapt on. You know, if you say, for instance, you got a shaft, if the shaft is 4 inches long and the wheels has got settings on them, and you move the wheels just as high as you can get them,
yeah,
all the way to the top, well, that'll put your blade 4 inches from the ground.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And say, for instance, that if you want to cut your grass short, you put an adapter on it. And that, in other words, they got some adapters about that long. And I got some adapters about that long. And see, the mower will push easy because it's up off the ground. And you put that adapter on there, and that puts the blade on down there further. And I don't never cut my grass over 2 inches. That's enough. So you cut it right down on the ground, first you know you're going to kill your grass.
You're gonna, yeah, come a dry spell, you see what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. It'll work on it.
Yeah. I gotta nibble a little bit. It's 12 o'clock, Fee.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
That's where it all tastes. Now that's.
That's good cheese, yeah.
Yeah, it's cold, but it's not, you know, out of the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to sit in this other chair. That's all I did. Old man, be so young.
It helps to stretch a little bit.
Yeah, it helps to stretch your knees a little.
That's sort of. Start hurting again.
You don't want to hear that.
I don't like that part of it. Well, like I told that doctor, he don't care how much I hurt.
No, they don't lose sleep over.
They don't lose sleep over.
On how much you hurt.
That's right.
Oh, because Sam, I think he's had troubles of his own.
Yeah,
his back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Well, he ought to have some.
He ought to have a little bit of sympathy for somebody.
A little bit of sympathy.
That's right.
Go ahead. Guy, I'll fix you some coffee.
You know, go ahead and eat.
Sure. Oh, you say the blessing, J.I.?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We're going to make thanks for these blessings. Forgive us for our sins. Christ say amen.
Right. And this.
Oh, that may be right smart water in there, see?
Oh.
You got enough water in there to... Quote somebody. Yeah. What's this in here?
That's
what I was
going to do. Some beans and coffee.
Well, now that's what I need, you see. I need something substantial.
What's
down here, J.I.? I've been working hard this morning.
We had collard greens and things like that up until recently. You were saying how much you liked them.
Noodle been cooking them.
Salt.
Turnips. Pepper, please, ma'am.
Pepper? Yeah.
Noodle been cooking a lot of turnips and mustard.
Yeah.
And cauliflower. And I told her the other day I like old spinach, too. She said, I didn't know you liked spinach. I said, sure I do. I love spinach. You want some pepper?
Not right now, thank you. Actually, it's pretty good, man.
It's all right.
I should have let J.R. season it.
Yeah.
Because he knows how.
I don't know. I used to know how to do a lot of things. Every time they want any barbecue done, I had to do it.
Since you celebrated Christmas.
Like I built something?
Mm-hmm.
In about 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
See, I got down, I don't know, it wasn't what's called plumb down, but I just got to where that I couldn't do what I wanted to do about 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Got sick on, I think I got sick just before I started doing anything. And then the following year I was going to try it and got sick again. So now I quit all together.
Well, you must have a lot of that truck left that you used out there.
I give it away. I sold about $800-$900 worth of pulleys and belts and everything imagine.
Did you?
Yeah, man, the fella. Yeah, I stole out the normal shop about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But I had something to start on the normal shop again, see?
Yeah.
But like them pulleys and everything, I wish 1,001 times I wouldn't have got rid of them.
Because
now
they're hard to replace.
That's right. I still got a bunch of them.
Oh, have you?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a bunch.
Hmm?
It takes a bunch if you
like it. Mm-hmm. Because see, you got belts going every which way. You got to have pulleys going every which way. Belts going every which way, and everything else going every which way. But all them transmissions and everything I had, I still got them. I might start up again.
Well, you don't have to start on such a big scale.
Mm-hmm.
You can... Let's do a little something.
Start with something little, and then, but that getting into them big ones is what gets aggravating.
What's the biggest one you did?
It was the Ferris wheel and the merry-go-round.
You had the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm, the Ferris wheel on the bottom, the merry-go-round on top.
Yeah.
And one transmission done it all. And it had lights on the bottom and lights on the top. And ever so often, the lights would go out on the bottom, and the lights on the top would still be on. And then the lights on the top would go out, and the bottom would be on.
Oh, I see.
All kind of ways. And I've done, always done my own electrical business. I've had quite a few people come tell me it wouldn't work.
It had a lot of things, right?
It wouldn't work, but I know it would. Last Christmas thing I had was out at the camp, out there where I worked. I had a, it looked like a teepee hut, I guess it was, it looked like one. And it had a wheel on it that you could look at it, and you couldn't tell whether the wheel was red or black or blue or what it was. That kind of caught a lot of attention. I think them prisoners, they liked it. But I ain't built nothing since.
How did you work that wheel? I'll take a little bite of that.
Well, like that, like your mower machine out there.
Yeah.
Well, I had that wheel on a transmission up on a post. And I had a belt going down there to it. And that, like that thing that holds your blade, that wheel was on it.
Yeah.
It couldn't get off. Couldn't get off if it wanted to. Because the way I had it bolted on there. I'm going to make me a helicopter one of these days. Whenever I feel like it.
Oh.
You can ride it. You go up in the air and circle over these trees, it might go over to see you.
Do it?
All the time thinking about something. Yes, I can do it. No, said I can do anything. But getting shape of men right now, well, I never did think I'd get like this.
Getting that shape is not much pleasure doing things.
No, there ain't no pleasure doing nothing. You can't even fish. I can't even fish and think about what I'm going through. Because the last time I fished, took me 2 weeks to get over. Now a stack of perch, you just eating it up in Lock Loose Lake,
yeah,
in the bonnets, and I can't even go and fish for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared to.
Mm-hmm.
That cost me, like, here not long ago, cost me 2 weeks to get. I can get out of bed. I don't believe I want to go fish for them. And I wasn't out in that lake no more than a half day. That might have been the way I was sitting.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, whenever I got tired, I'd go to the bank, get out, and walk around a little bit.
Would you?
I did. I got out and walked around two, three times. But after I got back in the boat the last time, I couldn't even get out of the boat. They had to pick me up out of the boat.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know anything that'd be worse sitting than one of them little old boats.
Mm-hmm.
If you got anything wrong with it.
I got one of the little John boats and got plenty of room to sit. But I don't know what in the world it done to make me do like it did. I don't believe I ever tasted an egg like that to taste that good in a long time.
You know, I just thought
it would be good to me.
I'm gonna have some of that cheese.
No,
I can't
eat no cheese.
And not on your list?
My wife told me not to eat no cheese. Whatever she told me not to eat, I try not to eat it.
Well, Jack, did Nola help you on any of them?
Rig?
Helicopters? No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She can help you.
Yeah. I ain't supposed to eat no bread, but I'm going to eat this here. Chop up this here tomato gravy.
You want some more tomatoes?
No, ma'am. I have plenty. She helped me on them. Bobby used to help me with them. How did that run now? I've always said, I've said quite a few times here lately, I sure didn't know I was down like I am now. Can't do nothing.
You waited a long time, but when you've done it, you've really done a good job of it.
Mm-hmm. I worked in my day. Just like Mr. Brown said the other day, he said, "Want to know if did I figure that I'd be back to work by the last of March?" And I told him, I said, "Mr. Brown, I don't think I'm gonna ever be able to come back to work." I said, "It don't look like it." I said, "I just can't get on the right track to save my life." And he said, "Well," says, "we'll wait till the last of March, about March the 20th or somewhere along there, and we see that you can't make it. So would you come out and show a man how to do these jobs?" I said, "Yes, I don't mind coming out there. But," I said, "you may have to get me a wheelchair to ride around in." I said, "I won't be able to walk." But I knew that when I had that operation, the only man that's ever messed with that leg was Dr. Strange. And he always got it back to where I could walk on it like I was supposed to. The last thing got me, I don't know what it was, whether it was a catfish or whether it was a gar or a mudfish or what it was, but something bit me in that pond. And Dr. Strange is the one that cured it. And of course, it took him about 6 months to do it, but he cured it. He didn't give me another minute's trouble.
How long has that been?
That's been about 2 years ago. I come in an ace and lose my right leg. I can blow my knee.
You mean something you was out fishing?
I was out hunting.
You was out hunting?
In a pond, hunting for ducks. Something bit me. And Dr. Strange got some things about that long, and they were white, and they were sharp, out of my leg. And the way it sounds like to me, and I've heard quite a few people talk, he's catfish professional. But say, for instance, there's a catfish bed right here, and you are standing right there by it. Well, that old catfish, he'll run right up by your leg, or whatever he's run up by, and he'll automatically throw them old fins out and stick it in a fish or whatever he's going to eat. He just run right up by him. And then when he gets up there to him, he throws them fins out, and them fins will go in what he's going to eat, and then that when the fish slurs and moves off, so he'll follow that blood up until that fish is dead, and he'll eat him. I've heard a lot of cat fishermen say that's what the way it happened.
And you were out in the water. Wait.
Yeah, the water that deep. I shot three times and picked up a crooked sack full of ducks. And I had them ducks on me when whatever that was got. And I was in water about that deep.
And you knew it had hit you?
Yes, sir. I knew it, and my feet and legs and everything was cold. It was ice. It was ice on the ground, see?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I knew something hit me. But I couldn't say what it was. The water was so black, I couldn't see down there. That deep, especially.
Yeah.
And where I was at, well, I knew there wasn't nothing in there but catfish and brim and trout. But another fellow told me that there is such a thing as a freshwater stingray.
Uh-oh.
And there's such a thing as a saltwater stingray, because I've seen plenty of them. I ain't never seen no freshwater stingray, but I have seen plenty of saltwater stingray. But whatever it was, hit me behind the leg.
Mm.
And both. Well, Dr. Strange got about 7, 8, or 10 of them things out of my leg. Just like, I believe it was catfish.
7 or 8 or 10 of them?
Mm-hmm. And just about that long. And they were sharp and they were white. But he said on the end of them was black. And there was a coat that had been on them because that coat was in my leg. And a catfish has a coat that goes over his fin. As long as catfish are alive, and say, and you take a pair of pliers and break them things off whenever you catch them, that's the best thing before you put them in the bucket alive with them. Because if you stick your hand down there, if you don't catch them just right, he'll fin you. And them, that's just about what it was, catfish. And I was in a catfish bed, and they were pinning me all the time, and of course my leg was cold, and I couldn't tell nothing about it.
I'm done. And that just a couple of years ago.
That was about 2 years ago.
But you got over that.
I got over it.
Is that that same leg?
Yeah, the same one. And I didn't know that I'd be like this from something else. But that something else is when I fell out of that truck.
Yeah. You really hit the ground on that thing.
Yeah,
yes, I
hit
all kind of ways.
That jello, it's good for you.
Okay. I'm putting this thing in. It don't make no
difference. Yeah, that is. That's
the best thing for you.
Right.
Yellow.
Uh-huh.
Strawberry yellow.
Pineapple.
Pineapple. We keep
it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been spurred by catfish, but I never have been spurred anything like that. I never was out in a catfish bed, J.R.
I stand right in it. In other words, I felt all the time that all the time that I was standing there was holes. Seemed like there was holes about that big around, about that deep. Because whenever I'd step, my foot would go down in them holes.
That won't hurt you, J.R.
No, ma'am. But my foot would go down in them holes. And undoubtedly something had to be in that hole.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I never did go back out there to see. I ain't never been back out there no more.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
No, told me to stay away from out there. And that's when I quit hunting duck. I ain't hunting no more duck. Like I told you, I don't care if I'm gonna never see another duck again.
You was out there in the catfish bed hunting ducks.
Yeah. So I've been wading around that pond.
Well, you've been out there before.
I've been out there a dozen, two times.
That's what I think.
I've been out there plenty of times. Nothing ain't never happened like that before. But my leg, whenever I got out of that pond, it looked just like somebody shot me with a shotgun. It got holes all in the back of my leg.
See,
that was that leg that got burnt with gasoline.
That same leg?
Same leg. That's when Dr. Strange cured, when I got burnt with gasoline when I was 17 years old. That was a long time ago.
What happened then?
When I got burnt with gasoline, burnt me up. Burnt me all over.
All over?
All over, head, face, arms, everywhere. And you know that old doctor the other day, Emil, he told me, he said, it'll be expensive, but we can find out why you don't have no hair on your face. Why you don't shave. I said, it ain't worrying me. I said, I ain't never shaved, and I ain't picking on shaving. I didn't have to get down there on the ground before I shave it off. I said, I've always said that. But he said, oh, it'll be awful expensive for us to find out why you don't shave and why you ain't got no hair on your arms. I said, it don't worry me. I said, I wash under my arms and I keep deodorant under all the time. And I said, I know whenever I'm running a hot box under my arms, I said, when you see my hands go over my head, you know he's in bad shape. But I said, as long as you wash under your arms and keep that deodorant under there, you don't have no trouble with rubbing raw. And I said, this hair that I ain't got on my face ain't worrying me a bit in the world. Yeah, he was in favor of me finding out why I didn't shave. I said, well, I'll tell you the reason why I don't shave. I said, I'm part Indian. And I said, the Indian don't shave. He said, I've never heard that before. Well, it's about time you're hearing something.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's about time you're learning something. I said, you learn how to be a doctor, did you?
Well, I'm going to tell you, do you know Miss Mary Guthrie?
Guthrie?
Uh-huh. Old Will Guthrie's place out there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, something happened to her. I ought to know what this is, but something happened to her somewhere along the line that made the hairs grow on her face.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a beard, it was just some long hair.
Good. The fuzz is what it was.
And she went just recently.
You want it hotter?
Yes,
no,
sir.
Thanks.
His milk chewing cream.
Now, she lived with that a long time, J.R. But
I'll tell you somebody else. I'll tell you somebody else had a mustache. And you wouldn't have believed it unless you looked at it real close. That's Miss Coo Harris.
Oh?
That was Joe Harris' mother. She had a mustache. And she was a school teacher, but she was a Quaker. And her mustache was that long.
Good Lord, an inch long.
And every week she'd shave it off.
Yeah.
You could see what she shaved up there.
Yeah.
But I ain't never seen in my life. And me and Buster was, I'm 2 years older than he is, and he said to me one day, he says, Zach said, let's get Daddy's razor and shave and get some mustache. He said, the girls go crazy over it. I said, I ain't got time. They just have to go crazy because I ain't got time for them. And it was, I was 27 years old before I ever got married.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whenever a lot of the girls around about found out I was fixing to get married, well, all of them wanted to go in. I know plenty of them that, I asked them for a date back before that. They don't go off with you. I know what you do. You get drunk. And then when you get drunk, well, you don't never know when to come home. I ain't going off with you nowhere. And they found out, though, I was fixing to marry Nola. Well, all of them want to go in.
Where'd you find Nola?
I found her in Mecanopa, Dr. Davis' drugstore. And I had one of these, had a 29 Model A Ford. I had one of these old-timey record players.
Yeah.
Old Victor. And I kept that thing in the, didn't have no back seat, the old Model A. And I put that old Victor right in the middle of it, bolted to the floorboard, it couldn't go nowhere. And I'd go uptown around about, and I'd play them old string band records. I had about 250, 300 records, and had in the back of the old Ford on each side of that thing, I had places for records to go in there, couldn't get out. And I'd go everywhere playing that thing. You'd be going down the road playing it. And I give her that Victrola. And of course, she carried it home over to people over here this side of Williston. And they liked to order the thing out playing it, had to wind it up.
Yeah.
And I give it to her, and we still got it. It's up on the top of the house.
Yeah.
And one day I said to her, I said, well, sugar, I says, I'm going to leave you tomorrow. Where you going? I said, I'm going to New York. No, you ain't. So you going to Miami? I said, yeah, I'm going to Miami. Going down that way. And whenever I got ready to go, she went to crying. They want to see me leave. I said, well, I'm going anyhow. You just have to cry. So I took off. Went down to Daytona Beach, and I worked down there about pretty close to a year. And the first thing I know, one Sunday, we up rode Daddy and Mama and Nova. Come down there to see me. I mean, I stayed away from Megan Nova. Everybody thought something wrong went on. There wasn't nothing wrong. They come down there to see me, and we rode around a little bit. After a while, Daddy and then they went back home, and Daddy said all the way up to down there, says, Noah's looking out there in the woods, looking here, looking there. And Daddy told us, says, you need to be looking around, says, you need to ask one, says, I'm going to give him to you. That suited her to a T. She was scared to ask them for me. And but Daddy told her, said, you need to be looking around or crying about you ain't seen brother nowhere. I'm going to give him to you. You can have it. And about, I don't know, about a month, something like that. Well, it was during the, when Redbud and Dogwood was blooming. That's when we got married.
Yeah.
So the church, they had a church full of them.
Yeah.
Dogwood and Redbud, and everybody figured right then that it was when Brother Yancey was preacher there in Mechanoka. And whenever Yancey got through with his sermon, well, he said, well, we got a little extra something here, and we're going to have, so everybody stay. But somebody done, it done leaked out somehow or another that we was going to get married. There was going to be a marriage there, but nobody knew who it was.
Yeah.
Of course, we wasn't nowhere around to be seen. And whenever my sister, she played the piano. And about time when they got through with everything was Dodie went playing the wedding march. We started, and Mr. Yancey, he married us. Well, I mean, that church was packed. There was nobody else could get in there to save their life. They'd even sitting in the aisles everywhere. Didn't know what to think. And I've heard Mama say plenty of times, I ain't never seen the girl that I wanted my son to marry. She thought that, I guess she thought that I was better than anybody else. But I didn't figure it that way. I didn't have nothing, she didn't have nothing. Now we got something. And just like she gave me a Valentine the other day, I looked at that thing and I said, my God Almighty, look at that. Ain't that something what I get? There's I ain't got nothing. And let's see, it says on the top, it says, I ain't got nothing, don't want nothing. And I done forgot now what it had down at the bottom. Something else. About the nothing business. And I didn't even think about looking inside the thing. And after a while, I went back and got it and read it again and looked and opened the thing up and said, except you. That dog was inside with the bone in his mouth. Ain't got nothing, don't want nothing, and it had something else on there, but don't want nothing. And I said to myself, that's neat. And I put it on the table and I said, I don't want this here thrown away. This here belongs to me.
Well, you, certainly got something. You certainly got something when you got Noah.
Yes, ma'am.
And her when she got you.
Neither one of us didn't have a thing. And when I went to work down at Daytona Beach, she went to work at Camp Lanning. And which I knew that she was going to work at Camp Lanning. And when she said that, well, that's the reason I told her I was going to work in New York.
Oh.
And I was going to Miami. She didn't know I was going to Daytona Beach. Already had a job. Didn't worry about no job then. You could get a job any time you wanted.
Yeah.
And I worked for a man down there on the filling station. And I've done things that didn't have no business. But I bootlegged a many gallon of gas. That was when we got married, was when the gas rationed. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yeah.
All right, that's when I got married.
Is that right?
That's right. And well, I bootlegged, I bet you I bootlegged 10 million gallons of gas. As long as you come up there, there wasn't nobody in the car but you, I'd give you all the gas you want. You didn't have to have no ticket, no coupon. But if you and somebody else come up there, and you wanted gas and you didn't have no ticket, I said, nothing doing. I'd just get you to one side or in front of the car or something, taste, all right? Walk down the road and get rid of that gentleman you got. Come back, I'll let you have all you want.
No witness.
No witness whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
And I've had plenty of them to pull it, that they would come up there in a coupe automobile. And he'd want a tank full of gas, but he didn't have no coupon. I said, what you got in the cooler shell? They call it cooler shell then.
Mm-hmm.
Like an old Model A Ford with a cooler shell in it. There ain't nothing in there. I said, well, open the thing up and let's see. And then there's a man laying down in it. Like, you just trying to pull one over on me. You ain't gonna get no gas from him. I don't let nobody have it unless they got a coupon. Anything will do whether they had it or not, but as long as one was one there, well, he didn't have no whip. My word was just as good as his. Well, I sure enjoyed it, didn't I, Miss?
Well, we just sort of put things out on the table, J.I.
You
well, since this, excuse me, since this, this hurting I got, I don't eat much.
It takes it, yes. You can't have that in the appetite, too.
No, sir, not. I don't care. Ain't one thing I do like, and that's plenty of it, and that's mullet, but I can't, you can't, you gotta have it broiled.
Yeah.
You gotta have it baked. I tell you something else I like these here mullet that's been smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
not long ago, about 4 weeks ago now, I told Noel, I said, well, I might be got diabetes, I don't know whether I have or not, but I don't believe I have. But I says, let's go down to see the Keys and I want to get me a good bait of mullet. Because I'm going to tell that woman down there, I'm on a diet and I can't eat fried mullet anymore, but I said, today I'm going to stretch it a little bit. And so the lady that runs the restaurant down there, she knows me. And somebody had told her that I was a diabetic and I couldn't eat fried fish. And I told her, oh yeah, I can, today I am. And instead of giving me 3 pieces of fish, that piece was about that long, I guess. And about that wide, I mean the fish was there.
Ooh.
And she gave me 4 pieces instead of 3.
Ooh.
But she knew I liked fried mullet. And then when I got through, she come out there and she said, well, Mountain, do you feel like you can eat another good piece of mullet? I said, yes, ma'am, I sure can. I ain't had nothing to eat in a long time. And I eat that other piece. And she said, I ain't never heard of nobody eating 3 fish at one time. Not right behind each other. That's what I need. But you know, it seems like that, lately that I just can't hold much.
No, you can't hold much.
I'm adding the intestines to grow to that, I guess.
Pain?
Well, when you've got so much pain, J.R., that does something to your appetite.
Yeah.
J.R., your daddy, now, did he ever knock around the country?
Who around?
Yeah. Huh?
He used to a long time ago when he was on the railroad.
He never got out in the car and went around the country?
Yeah, he used to haul a fellow by the name of Peter Henderson, feed man, every summer. Time spring, full spring ever come in.
Yeah.
It's Peter Henderson Feed Company.
Yeah.
He used to haul that man, his name was Guntner. I won't ever forget that. And we'd sit up there on that curve up that making over all them big oak trees. They'd been hitting them so much. There was a big old red building set there. And it had a big platform on the front of it. And they had an orange packing place there too.
Oh.
And we would go up there and sit on that front of that building. When me and Dodie and Buster were little bitty things. I guess we must not have been over 3, 4, pretty close to 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go up there and sit on that thing and wait on Saturday night for Daddy to see if he's coming down the road.
Yeah.
Wait on him.
Yeah.
And then we'd get in the car with him. He knew he was there. Because my mama would ride him and tell him that he was down at Palmetto, somewhere down there. Tell him that now we'd be up there on the corner waiting on him.
Mm-hmm.
I won't never forget that.
Well, you know, man, Davis, that night when you and Buster and
Bill Davis,
yeah, Nola and was over there at the city commissioners meeting, and he come down there about that sign, you see, and when he walked out, he walked by there and spoke to you all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he knew your dad.
Yeah. That was Jess Davis.
Jess Davis.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Bill Davis. Now, Bill Davis is a man that used to live down where Fowler lives at now, close to the old Denton place.
Mm-hmm.
I won't ever forget old Bill Davis. He arrested a nigger
That fella.
Yeah, he's going down the road, and somehow another old tire blew out on the old T, and he got out to change it, and Bill, he was there changing the tire, and the nigger was tied to the one of the posts in the back seat, and the nigger said, Uncle Bill says, I let me out of here, so I'll change that tire for you. And Bill said, oh, hell, sir, I arrested you. You stay in the back of that car. So he couldn't get the lug nut off somehow or another, and he went and untied the old nigger, and he went down there, and old Bill Davis was squatting down there helping him try to get the lug nut off, and the old nigger just reached and got his gun. And Mr. Bill said, you can get that tire off the best way you can, since I'm gone. Long down the road, he had business. And they never did see that nigger no more. Gun, nothing else.
Is that right?
Never did see him no more.
Is that right?
I don't know where he come from.
Yeah.
But Jess Davis is what used to be at the post office.
Yeah, he's
the
post office, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I know that.
He knew your daddy. He must have known your daddy.
Yeah, him and daddy was buddies. Well, ain't he still living?
As far as I know, he is.
I believe he is.
Yeah.
But Judge McDonald's dead. I remember way back young.
Your daddy wasn't in the garage business all his life.
No, he wasn't in it. He was in the garage business from, I think it was 1913 to about 28. Because when I was 27 years old, that's when me and Noel got married. Well, he quit after that. In other words, I bought him out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. In other words, I worked at Camp Blanding 6 years, and then I bought him out. It was about 1931, somewhere along there. Because I bought him out, and I run it about 15 years myself, 15 or 20, somewhere along there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Then I give it to Buster.
That's when your daddy died?
Mm-hmm. I give it to Buster, and he's had it ever since.
Yeah.
All the roof and everything done fell in.
Well, did you make any money when you?
Yes, sir. I made some good money there, and I lost some money. I lost quite a bit.
On credit?
He wasn't paying it.
Credit, yeah.
Andrew Smith's wife. In other words, Andrew Smith died. He owed me $800 and something, and. Andrew Smith told me right in front of his wife and my wife that if I don't pay you before I die, says my wife will. She never did pay.
And who is that?
Andrew Smith. That's Miss Cruz. That's Miss Cruz now.
Oh.
Never did pay.
I
put a brand new motor in a 55 Chevrolet. I mean a brand new one. Ordered it from the factory and put it in that car, and he was still living, but that cancer had worked on him.
Mm-hmm.
They done cut all of his jaw and all down here, and the whole, his old eyes and his ears and all that off.
Oh.
That cancer had worked on him.
Yeah.
But if you take a man drink a quart of liquor a day, well, that liquor will finally get you. One way or another.
Well, that's right.
He was a painter.
Oh.
And he drank paint thunder when he didn't have no liquor.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I better go, because if I'm Maggie and Bobby and them's there now, and that little old boy, I sure won't see him.
That's right.
Lord, we had time with him Sunday. And when we got there to go, he held out his hand.
Oh, Miss Cruz. You mean the librarian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. When I see.
You see, whenever he died, she figured that it canceled all of his bills.
Yeah.
And she got all the property and everything.
Well,
in other words, she didn't have no property at all, because that property where she lives belonged to Joe Smith and Andrew. They were brothers.
Yeah.
and she just come in contact with it whenever he died.
Oh, I see.
In other words, that lot that's right in front of me, mm-hmm. in front of where I live, belongs, by rights, belongs to Mac Weaver. And I just naturally born believe if Mac Weaver, if somebody was to tell him, if he would go up yonder to that tax assessor's office and look and see if there's any back taxes on that place, he could get that place back. There's an acre there. By rights, that land belongs to Mac Weaver. It don't belong to Miss Smith. And it joins her property. But it ain't fenced.
You think of her as Miss Smith?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I think of Miss Cruz because she used to, first time I ever seen her, of course, she was in the library.
Mm-hmm.
But I seen her down there helping at that candy shop.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that she was a part of the city government, you see. She mm-hmm. did that for years and years and years.
Yes, but she pulled some slick ones. She got a bonus every year for $500. They found that out too.
Yeah.
They dug back in the minutes.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, and found out that Carla Sharehouse got about $500 every year a bonus.
Yeah.
That was a Christmas present.
Yeah.
Carla Sharehouse and John William Barr.
Yeah.
That's the reason that they all was in cahoots on that city of Micanopy.
Well, Mr. Barr was one
yes,
of them.
Yes, sir. He was one of them too. And they found out a lot of stuff that was going on,
yeah.
where that money was going.
Yeah, well, it
that cigarette tax and whatnot.
It took them a long time to find out.
Yes, it sure did. It took them a long time.
Yeah.
Whenever she, something was come up and she resigned,
yeah.
that's when she should have never resigned.
Yeah.
So whenever she resigned, well, that's when they caught up with her.
When she resigned, that means she had to turn over the books.
She had to turn the books over. Then they had them books ordered.
Yeah.
So that is where the catch come in at that.
Why, they used to have an auditor for them books, and he just did what they said.
That's right. And they found paid things that where they'd bought furniture and stuff, and it didn't go in the courthouse. It went in their homes.
Yeah.
They was doing it just like they wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But whenever she resigned, that played the wild right yeah. there.
Well, now, Clara Cruz.
Hmm?
Clara Cruz.
They had a case against me. I didn't know anything about it. And old man, what's his name, the mayor, can't think of his name right now. But you know, he not long ago, he about...
Who is
I don't know
mayor?
About... His name is... I can't think of what it is right now, but he lives up there in the Rowell house. But you know, he come down in here about 6 months ago. About 6 months ago, and brought this thing. And told Noah, said, now, I don't want nobody to know this, and nobody don't know it but me. And says, here it is, you can
oh,
have
I know
it.
The mayor. He's that fella that moved in.
Yeah.
And sort of... Fair complexion fella.
Mm, he's one that
Joe something, isn't it?
Huh?
Oh, what's his name?
I can't think of what it is right this minute.
Yeah.
But he brought this.
He lives right back there in front of Spear.
Yeah, right in front of Spear. In that Rowell house over there on the corner.
Yeah.
He brought this thing and give it to Noah and says, now nobody don't know that I got it. And that's where they had me up for. I don't know if it was disorderly conduct or what it was. Way back yonder. Back yonder in 19 and... Let's see, I went in the Army in 39. I didn't go in there. I was put in there. I was put in the Army in 1939. I stayed in 39 and 40. In 41 and 42. I stayed in there 4 years. Now, don't you know good and well I'm a veteran? But you know they claim I ain't? And Buster said the other day he was going to look into that. I was in there 4 years. Because, see, me and Noah got married in 43.
When you come out?
February the 14th, 1943.
That's when you come out.
That's when I come out. I come out in 42.
Well, that's when I went in.
In June, let's see. What was April Fool's Day? April the 1st?
I guess.
April the 1st, 1942 was when I come out. That's when I got my discharge.
Yeah.
And I thought it was April Fool's Party.
Yeah.
But it was actually right. And I come out in 42, and I went to Daytona Beach and stayed down there a long time, and then I went to Camp Blandin, where Noah was at, and got me a job up there, and we worked up there about 2 years. And while we was up there, that's when we got married, 1943. But back in...
Yeah, you'd been around by that time, J.R. You were sort of secondhand material.
Yeah. But that thing that he brought up there and gave Noah was something they had on me way back young. But they put Hurlong and Duncan put me in the army. They say I was a bad boy. I guess I was. I'd done anything I took a nose of. And I wouldn't go around behind nobody's back to do it. I'd go out in front of them. And they didn't get too big meaty on them. I didn't care how big they were. I got on. I tell them so. You ain't too big for me. Come on. Let's have it. I've been in a menu fight. Got one right there. Got one right there. And I got one right there. Ain't got a good big old place in front of my mouth up there where a fella hit me with a 12-inch stiltson. Try to stop me. I come right on. I worked him over. Two brothers got a hold of me. Took my old Model T and run off with it and tore it up, and I worked on both of them.
On both of them?
Yeah, both of them. I worked on both of them. One of them hit me in the mouth with a monkey wrench of Stilson, and the other bit me off. But I worked on them right on.
Two of them on you.
Two brothers.
And they took your Model T off and tore it up?
Tore it all to pieces. Knocked the whole front end clean out from under it. Run into a piece of railroad iron sticking up about that high right out here on this little sticks road. Sticking up on the side of the railroad track out there, still sticking up there.
Still
about
there.
That high.
Still there.
Knocked the whole front end of it clean out from under it.
And it's still there.
That iron still sticking up there. I don't know how they got out there, of course, they're drunk. I was too. Well, yes,
didn't you
go.
Tell me one time that you had consumed a considerable quantity of moonshine?
You mean hauled it?
Consumed it.
Found it?
Drunk it.
Yes, sir. I put a many of it down. Put enough down to blow up Sam's biggest battleship.
That's what you said. That's right. That's what you said.
I got a many drops.
There was all kinds of it. Some of it was good and some of it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever?
I got a hold of plenty of it.
Did you ever get any that was any good?
I got a hold of plenty. I had some in my garage here not long ago and give it to a fella. I had a quart of white lightning.
Yeah. Was
that was 30 years old.
30 years old.
Oh, J.R.
Mm-hmm.
I give it
to that man.
Old,
he kept on asking me about it. And I told him, I said, well, there it is, right up there. If you want to get it. He got it down from up there and he pulled a cork out of it. And I hadn't even smelled it in 20 years, I guess, something like that. And I wasn't wearing me no how. And there's about 8 or 10 cans of beer sitting up there with it. I don't mess with either one of them no how. And he took that bottle down up there and sipped it. He said, that tastes like water. I said, well, it may taste like water, but that's white light.
Old
good
Duncan.
Old corn whiskey.
Old Duncan was a pretty good man himself, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a crook. First class.
But he was he was pretty rough, tough customer.
Yeah, he's tough.
Now he's not the one the nigger.
No, Davis was the one that took the gun with the nigger.
Now they wouldn't have got that on Duncan.
Yeah, They beat him out of it, too.
Oh, you mean they could beat him out
of
it?
Yeah, they get him drunk. Get him drunk. He couldn't help himself.
Yeah, he had to.
J.R., let me tell you.
Well,
we really
enjoyed the dinner.
Let me
tell
you.
We enjoyed having you come
over. We really had a visit. Now, you just tell your friends just tell them that you've got somewhere else to go. You don't have to worry with them now. We just come over here and knock around.
Over here, we'll shoot the bull.
Yes, and when the sun's shining, you know, I had a big time out there yesterday. Was it just yesterday?
We were in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
I came in last night and guy said he had the best time he'd had and he didn't know
where
we shot
over
at
your house.
Well,
I turned
know.
That
who was all them tracks out there behind that truck? That's the mind of Mr. Miles. Around the car and around the truck. What you doing with the hood up on the truck? I said, Mr. Miles got it up and he can't get it back down. I said, you know, I got this thought about thing. Look at the thing still up in there. Well, I guess I better go. I imagine that boy of mine who's at the house eating up all the hamburgers he can get his hands on. I don't believe I ever seen anybody like hamburgers better than that boy and my daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Is that right?
They eat hamburgers 10 times a day.
Just hamburgers.
Especially
hamburgers.
At your house. Where you
at
got
my house, especially.
Where they plenty for?
Wife went and bought 5 pounds of hamburger yesterday. And done made them up in patties.
Yeah.
And
so
put them in the refrigerator where they can get a hold of them.
So they can really make hamburgers.
That's right.
Well, this is the middle of the week. First of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they coming in this time of day?
Well, he had to come get his car inspected.
Oh, you told me that.
Yeah.
I better go before it starts pouring down.
Well, I tell you, I'd still, like you said, I'd take that Trenton thing.
Yeah, I'm going to take my Trenton whenever I do.
Where the man can fix it.
Well, they can fix it. Thing like you ought to. Well, I'll see y'all.
Yeah, you come back.
Okay.
You want to come put over here?
Channel 2 right around 1600 and then the visit with JR this Tuesday, rainy Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 74. Channel 2 right around 1600 and then the visit with JR at lunch this Tuesday, the 19th of February, 74. Channel 2 right around 1600 and then this long visit with JR this rainy Tuesday morning, this 19th of February, 74.